Welcome back to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors, exploring ideas to improving government effectiveness. My guest today is Tina Novaci, author of the recent IBM Center Report, A Manager's Guide to Evaluating Citizen Participation. Tina, as you point out, process evaluation focuses on the what question, while impact evaluation focuses on the so what question. There are several challenges that complicate performing impact evaluations and make them generally more difficult. Could you outline some of those challenges?
Well, process evaluation is primarily internal. It's looking on what is going on in the implementation and management of the participation process. But impact evaluation becomes a little bit more external because it's focusing on the outcomes, on the results. And one of the challenges is that impact evaluations obviously can only be done once a program has been implemented. And this is a challenge in participation because many of the effects of participation take time to come to fruition. For example, if we're trying to change public policy, we all know that public policy doesn't change overnight. It takes time for those changes to happen. And so the longer it takes for those changes to occur, the more challenging it is to connect it to participation. Another challenge is that impact evaluations presume a set of defined objectives, a set of criteria for success. They assume that there's a definition of effectiveness, and that's not always the case. What's effective or perceived as being effective for one audience might be different for another. And then a final challenge is that it's hard to know what the counterfactual would be. That is, it's hard to know what the outcomes would have been in the absence of participation. And so all of those challenges make it very difficult to assess the results or the impacts of a public participation process.
Despite these challenges, this type of evaluation can generate valuable information. So would you tell us about the types of information derived from a properly conducted impact evaluation?
Sure. The focus of impact evaluations is on the so what question. What is working? What is not working? So by doing an impact evaluation, we can improve program effectiveness. We can learn the answers to questions about whether a program is achieving its intended goals or it's changing its intended outcomes, whether the program has different impacts across different groups, or whether those impacts vary over time. We can learn about positive or negative unintended consequences or effects of the program. We can help determine whether the program is effective in comparison to alternatives. Was it effective using participation? Is that more effective than if we hadn't used participation? Impact evaluations can help us figure out whether a program is worth what it costs. And so with all of this information, managers can then prioritize the actions that they want to take with citizen participation processes, and they can make informed decisions about whether to modify, expand, replicate, or eliminate a particular program. Because of all of these benefits, impact evaluations, as I said before, are likely to be of value to a wide variety of audiences, not just program managers, staff, and other agency officials, but also elected officials, academics, researchers, practitioners, program participants, the general public. All of those audiences are likely to have an interest in answering the so what question.
So keeping in line with your report, which is a very practical guide, I want to understand the three most important questions that someone who may engage in impact evaluation would want to keep in mind before they actually perform it. Could you also outline the key evaluation areas, main questions, and the most important data sources to properly conduct an impact evaluation?
The first question is, what works and what does not work? And then a second question is, where, when, why, and how do certain elements work? And the final important question to keep in mind is, what are the costs of the overall program and these specific elements? When we think about doing impact evaluation, there are lots of evaluation areas, but I think the main ones are efficiency. We want to know the costs to the agency and the participants, the time for the agency, the time for participants. A second area is program satisfaction or participant satisfaction. So how satisfied are the participants with various aspects of the program? We want to evaluate on several general outcomes. For example, what are the benefits or the outcomes of participation for individuals? What are the outcomes of participation for communities, for the agency, and for public policy or public action? We would also like to evaluate on process-specific outcomes. There's a huge variety in the design of public participation processes, so we want to evaluate outcomes that are specific to the objectives and designs of a particular participatory program. We can collect data from a huge variety of sources, from archival data that we collect throughout the participation process, from personnel. But I would say the biggest difference here is that we need to collect more data in impact evaluations from participants and from stakeholders. So there are lots of potential sources for conducting impact evaluations.
Tina, your report does a wonderful job of breaking down somewhat academic concepts and making them seem very understandable and very practical. And one of the ways you do this is by identifying specific case studies. And one of the case studies I'd like for you to focus in on is the America Speaks 21st Century Town Meeting. Could you tell us more about this case study?
Well, the 21st Century Town Meeting is a large-scale participatory process that America Speaks runs. And in this process, they seek to engage a demographically representative group of citizens, anywhere from 100 people to 5,000 or more people, in simultaneous deliberation about a specific policy issue in a particular community. So one study looked at whether or not participation in this 21st century town meeting affected perceptions of internal and external political efficacy. So internal political efficacy asks the question, do people believe that their voice matters in politics? And external political efficacy asks, if I give my input, will the government listen? So it's a question about the responsiveness of government. Scholars and advocates of public participation say that one of its primary benefits for individuals is that it increases their perceptions of internal and external efficacy. So this study tried to determine whether that was true, whether participation actually had these effects on political efficacy. So it was a longitudinal, quasi-experimental research study that collected data from participants in the 21st century town meeting and a random sample of area citizens who did not participate in the meeting. And these surveys were administered before the event, immediately after the event, and then 2 years later to see whether changes held over time. And what was really interesting about this study, even though it did have some methodological limitations, it showed that the way America Speaks was recruiting citizens for this town meeting, that was happening in a way that was encouraging less efficacious citizens to participate. And that's in contrast to what we see in a lot of public participation. And the study also provided support for the argument that participation can increase political efficacy. External political efficacy increased in a statistically significant way, and internal political efficacy also increased. Basically, the study provided support for the idea that participation in these processes can help change the way citizens think about their participation in politics more broadly and the responsiveness of government.
So your report has another case study that it elaborates on. It's the Oregon Citizens Initiative Review. Could you tell us a little bit more about this initiative and the components of the program evaluation that was performed?
Sure. Well, this is a really neat process that began in 2010 in Oregon. So Oregon often puts issues on the ballot for referendum. And the House in Oregon decided that it needed to make sure that the electorate was aware of what was going on so that they could make informed and reflective judgments on these particular ballot measures. So they convened two separate panels for the Citizens Initiative Review, and they wanted to see what effect it was having. So researchers asked two questions. First, did the panels engage in high-quality deliberation? So they used observational data and before and after interviews with participants in the panel and staff, and they assessed the quality of the citizen statement. This was a statement produced by the deliberative panels and then made available for public viewing so that the public would understand what these particular ballot initiatives were. And they found that there was fair and respectful discussion throughout these panels, and that the statements were factually correct, and that they were free of logical errors. So deliberation here really helped produce high-quality understanding of these particular ballot initiatives. But then the researchers also wanted to know whether these statements that were produced by the panels helped Oregonians decide how to vote. So in order to answer this question, they conducted statewide telephone surveys, and they found that those who read the statements found the statements to be useful in deciding how to vote and becoming more knowledgeable about the issues. But in fact, the majority of Oregon voters weren't aware of the process and didn't read the statements. Even though people weren't aware of the process, broadly aware of the process, the state legislature found this to be really useful. And so there's been an agency created in Oregon now to continue the Citizens Initiative review process to help the public become more aware of ballot initiatives. So this evaluation really provided the legislature with important information about public participation on ballot initiatives.
So, Tina, that evaluation really provided the legislature with important information about public participation on ballot initiatives. What can you tell us about the multi-city Our Budget, Our Economy event as it relates to your research?
So this was a really large-scale process, also convened again by America Speaks. And the idea here was to bring the public together to talk about fiscal policy, fiscal reform, and to deliberate about the national economy, our national debt. In June of 2010, America Speaks convened more than 3,000 individuals in 19 communities across the United States. In addition, there were 38 volunteer-organized community conversations. So this was a very large-scale process, and this information was then given to professional policymaking bodies such as President Obama's National Commission on Fiscal Responsibility and Reform. So what was great about this evaluation was that it was built into the design of the event. So while they were planning the event, they were also planning how they would evaluate it to know whether it was successful. They used a lot of data here, participant surveys, site-based field reports, table-level keypad responses, control group surveys, elite opinion surveys, census data, media reports. Their evaluation was written by Kevin Esterling, Arkan Fong, and Taiku Lee. It's available online. And the evaluation report focuses on several issues, things like who participated, what did individuals think could be done to control the federal deficit, did participation change people's views, and how did those views change? Were participants' preference guided by their political ideology? Did it shape the way participants saw themselves as citizens and their proper role in government in addressing these policy issues? And so it was a really comprehensive evaluation, one that could serve as a really good model for public managers who want to evaluate their participatory efforts. And I think the most interesting piece that came out of this evaluation, at least for me, was that while participants began with kind of political ideology guiding their preferences, no matter if you were far left or far right on the political spectrum, participants were able to compromise and come to consensus about how particular elements of the budget should be addressed. So it really provides evidence that public participation can resolve these public policy disputes, that average citizens can come in and make informed decisions about very tough, very challenging issues, and find ways to come up with ideas and solutions to those problems that work for everybody.
What does the future hold for properly evaluating citizen participation? We will explore this question and so much more when the special edition of the Business of Government Hour, A Conversation with Authors, returns.